Harley.
Straighten hey. That out.
Ah.
How's it going?
Yeah. You know what?
How's your week been?
It's been one of those weeks. My birthday was just a few days ago.
Happy delayed birthday.
Through COVID and lockdowns and all of the rest, it means that my birthday has gone on for approximately 3.5 weeks, and I've had 7 separate socially distanced, responsible, limited parties.
Wow.
But it works out. So instead of a big birthday blowout bash, you just get a bunch of excuses to do it several times throughout the course of a week or whatever. But it's been fantastic. I'm excited.
You're a popular guy, Chad.
Oh my goodness. I realize as you get older and you start being like, wow, made it to this particular age, 44. And you realize how all of the people that take the time to wish you happy birthday actually really do make a difference. You're like, oh my gosh, it's really amazing how many people in my life thought about me today or took the time to send a text message or whatever. So this was one of the first years that I felt very obligated to go back and like all of the messages on Facebook and maybe do little replies or do a mass reply or whatnot, but nice. Feeling good, Steve. I'm feeling
nice.
Good.
Nice. So yeah, we're exactly 10 years apart. I just turned 54 this year too. So you're just a whippersnapper.
I'm just a young pup. That's an extra 10 years. So that was 1966.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny. I remember 76 very well because it was the bicentennial. It was one of my early memories in life. When you're around 10, you start to remember certain things. And I remember the bicentennial in America because it was a big, huge 4th of July thing. And it was like the whole year was like lots of fireworks and stuff. But
that's right. And it's also, you had a core, I used to collect coins a long time ago, and you made a bicentennial coin, 1776.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
76. And it I remember that.
It was a big deal. Hey, how's the launch going on the Maker's Mop? That was pretty impressive. I watched the video on that.
Thank you very much. It was incredibly successful. It was one of those things where it was such a large amount of work that you're kind of unsure about what is going to be big enough or good enough to be like, yeah, it was worth all the effort. Clearly it was worth all of the effort because, it was right out of the gate. As soon as we released the video, there was a bunch of people who were anticipating it. We had taken a long time in between releasing new products. And we put a lot of work into this one and it really paid off. I think we ended up selling, I don't know, about 1,200 or 1,300 of them in the first 24 hours. So.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That is great to have that in there.
Thank you. It's been a huge, and now it's time to just unwind and relax. I'm taking the next 2 days off and sleeping in and spending some time doing some other stuff, not in front of a computer. Aside from this, actually.
I was thinking about you the other day. I was watching, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful.
I do. Yes.
He has a YouTube channel and this past video he posted was about, he's really just bearish on retail right now. He's like, get out of retail, do everything online. If you're thinking about marketing a product in a store, run the other way. But he's also really kind of dramatic that way. But I mean, he's successful. So, but I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on retail.
We in Canada look at Kevin O'Leary kind of the same way we look at, I don't know if you know Don Cherry or not.
He's a bit
of a Canadian icon as well for, he does Hockey Night in Canada, which is the Monday night football of sports here in Canada. And him and another sportscaster named Ron McLean forever did a little series in between periods in the intermissions of the game called Coach's Corner. And he always wears very loud jackets and he talks and he's an old school guy. And he's like, let me tell you what it's like. And before the Russians started coming into hockey, and
Russians.
It kind of was, or the damn Europeans, or like that. He liked Canadian born players and. Yeah. But very old school and whatnot. Anyways, he's been ushered off of TV. He kind of got caught up in the cancel culture thing. But Kevin O'Leary's hanging on for dear life. He's not our Donald Trump by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a little boisterous and a little too about appearances and whatnot. So I'm not sure I take a lot from Kevin O'Leary with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
However, I'm investing my own money and putting my money where my mouth is, which is, yes, getting out of retail, because I don't think that whole impulse buy and that, first of all, stores like Bed Bath and Beyond and cheaper stores and like, I mean, I'm sure Walmart's going to always exist, but the majority of those products are now available through Amazon. So there's,
well,
there's
did you, have you seen where Walmart's launched their like Amazon competitor? Yeah. They're calling it like Walmart Plus, I think.
Yes, and that's where they'll have some. I mean, they have deep enough treasure chests to be able to throw a lot of money at it, and I'm sure it's Walmart, so they'll figure out how to do it.
I think that Walmart is always going to suffer from the impression of just low quality goods. I think that they're trying. I haven't shopped at a Walmart, and we don't have any around here, but I haven't shopped at a Walmart in years and years, and I think they just always have that kind of impression that they're, you know, it's crappy stuff. But I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if that's because I see people now, like fashion designers, getting into the Walmart space. Yep. Sophia Vergara, I don't mm-hmm. know her name. She has her line of clothes there. And so they're trying to up their game, it looks like.
I think, so are you in Target land? You basically
we have Target, yeah.
of Targets as opposed to Walmart. So we had Target briefly in Canada a few years back. It was literally like a 3-year stop off, and they invested hard in it. And we were very excited because Target has always had those products where people, at least in Toronto, will drive an hour and a half to Niagara Falls, go over the border to the one in Buffalo, shop to your heart's content, stay for 8 hours. So go and have dinner or something like that, and then come back over with your bounty. So they finally took note of like, hey, you know, this will work in Canada. So they invested, they brought a bunch of employees up and they really, really gave a good go at it. They opened a bunch of stores. We loved them. Aside from the fact that when we got in, we realized that they were carrying the exact same SKUs as Walmart or any of the other discount stores. Mm-hmm. So the unique supply chains that they had in the United States were clearly different than they were going to have here in Canada. So they had the stores, so you had the shelves, but the stores were full of all of the same product, or at least nothing exclusive. And it was at that time that I realized that Target's a lot like Walmart, just in fancy, it just has lipstick kind of on.
I think you're right.
The stores look very good. I love the red. They have the nice clean bathrooms. The employees seem to be better uniformed and perhaps friendlier or trained slightly differently. The lights are brighter. It certainly is a way better experience. However, when it comes down to it, I remember through that experience, I'm like, wow, these stores all pretty much carry the exact same products. And I'm, you know, Walmart's saving me money by having cement floors and big buzzy overhead lights and just right. like they're big box buildings and they don't put any kind of real design effort into them. Aside from when they changed their logo not too long ago, did you notice that? Yeah. And they went to the small, the lowercase. As a designer, may I ask you, what do you think of companies who go through and make a switch? I remember Wendy's did it, and they went from a very kind of old school cursive mm-hmm. font to this more modern kind of like handwritten font.
Right.
And it just seems like they invest so much time that by the time they actually do it, it kind of like already isn't cool anymore to have sans serif lowercase letters as your, totally. And now maybe everybody's moving back to like all caps and da da da. And by the time they switch out the 17,000th store sign, it's like, well, yeah. that trend
I think so gone. I think to me, you just can't go wrong with Helvetica has been the font for, you know, over 100 years. People have been using that for everything, and it's timeless, and it looks yeah. good on anything you see Helvetica on. Looks good. It's like my only advice to like designers is just go with Helvetica. You'll just be fine.
Buy Helvetica. It's $80, I think, for the whole, all of the italicized, bold, semi-bold, condensed, and all the rest. You will use it. And for anybody who doesn't know what Helvetica is, have you seen the documentary on Helvetica?
I did, yeah. It's fascinating.
Fascinating documentary on the fascinating history. And as soon as you watch, even as a designer, I watched it, and then I went out into the world, and I realized
it's everywhere.
Stop signs, subways, anytime a city, sign is being put up, or like a street sign or whatever, you're looking at Helvetica or a variation of Helvetica.
My son, Wyatt, he has, you know how there's this whole thing about Comic Sans is like considered the worst font ever. Just stay away from Comic Sans. And he says, whenever he sees that, he has a voice in his head. The dog's kind of like this.
It does. It sounds like Goofy, right?
It just cracks me up whenever he sees, and I'm like, you're right. Whenever I see Comic Sans, it's like that. Another one of those fonts is Papyrus. I'm not know if you're familiar with Pirate. Yeah, I'm sure if you've seen it, you know Papyrus. And it's just one of those kind of cringy fonts that you see.
I like it when you pass a store, like especially like a larger store that looks like there was some work put into it. And you see their logo and it's like, you just went with Arial, did you? You went with Impact, did you? The fonts that were installed in your computer.
Well, I'm kind of like old school. I like the idea of, it used to be kind of the standard is for newspapers and magazines that you would lead with a sans serif font for the titles and subheadings. And then your running text, the reading text is all going to be serifed because it's a little easier to read serif text with the little tails on everything. And so I kind of stick to that. I think if you know, you stick to two fonts on something, you're generally probably good. It's just when you start mixing, you go to the 1000 type font website or whatever it is, and you just grab
these. Free, so I can have as many as I want.
You get these really weird. Doesn't work fonts. That
way. Yeah, or you'll see someone with one sign or one piece of marketing and has like 9 fonts on there. And
hey, speaking of documentaries, I watched that documentary you recommended, the Social Dilemma.
What did you say?
It was funny because after you said that, my trainer, I was talking to her and she says, oh, I saw this documentary you should see. And it was the same one, the exact same day she mentioned this thing. And so I'm like, okay, I got to see this now. Since then, I've turned off the notifications on my phone. The only notifications I have are for text messages because I get so few text messages whenever I do. It's somebody I actually know and it's something that's relatively important or that I want to engage with. But everything else, no, I turned it off. I think that turning off social media is an act of defiance at this point.
Well, and as they kind of point out in the movie, it's something which is so, like, it's a behavioral change, which seems so, it's like quitting smoking. I quit smoking. And that was, I think, probably one of the biggest accomplishments of my life, because I tried so hard. I did it for so long. It clearly is an incredibly difficult and addictive thing to get over. But you don't, like, you think about that with smoking, because the messaging of smoking is like, there's clearly very clear benefits to getting away from it or whatnot. But it was really tough to do something so, like, why should I not want my phone to interrupt the flow of my life? And that behavior of just constantly checking. And even then you start to be like, well, nothing. I haven't gotten a notification. Let me check to see if my phone accidentally didn't give me an email snuck in without a notification kind of coming in and stuff like that. So, and then it kind of like works in reverse, because now you're just thinking about the lack of and whatnot. And you don't realize how slow, and that was the thing that I was trying to drive at, which was like that they talk about that slow burn, that slow wearing away of you just allowing your day, your life, your entire life to be interrupted by proactively by a thing that you've purchased that you put in your pocket that alerts you every 3 to 5 minutes to turn it on again and then to use it. And that was very scary to kind of see it presented in that way, because that's exactly what's happening.
I think so too. It is really scary. And I think that we all have to be more mindful of that. I don't think people realize how kind of undermining it is to culture, really. And it was interesting the way that that documentary was shot, in that they interspersed this fictional story recreation with actors on there, and it really kind of helped to put it into perspective. Usually I was kind of thinking, I don't know if that's going to work, but then after I got into it, it did work. And you would see, like, they were, you know, having dinner, and the mom is like, let's don't use our phones, and they were just like, now what do we talk about, what do we do there? And then just setting the phone down there and then having it, like, you're constantly looking at it, like, I'm drawn to it. It is a drug. It is this addiction thing. And you can't help it. If you're standing in line at a store, like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, and you just pull your phone out and you go, I'm going to look at it. I got to have something to do. And I've been enjoying these mornings. I do this thing every morning about my cats. My cats rule my life now. They just turned a year old too. Well, not two, but
I think at 55, you start really leaning into your
I cats. Became this cat guy. I became this old cat, this crazy cat lady. So I take them out every morning into the yard because I don't want to leave them alone because it's a whole thing. And I want to keep them contained and relatively safe. So I let them out in the yard, but I sit with them. I sit and just kind of keep an eye on them. And I've gotten to where if they start to go too far, I can do this Thanos snap. And they just like one snap and then they come back. It's really good. But that was a
That's impressive. Sorry, I've had cats for a long time. And I've seen the way that dogs work. I get that dogs can come with a snap. Yeah. I would get a dirty look from our cat if I tried to snap
I clicker trained them when they were real young. I started using the clicker. And then now whenever I want them, I'm done outside, I come in, I just click once and they just run in because they know there's treats. Whenever they hear that click, there's a treat involved. But I got way off track here. What I was going to say. Anyway,
no, I interrupted you. Actually.
I do this with all of my stories, but so I sit with them outside, but I would find myself, I just have a lawn chair, I sit out there and looking at my phone, watching videos and all this stuff. And this is at 7:30 in the morning. It's beautiful out. Well, now that all the smoke is gone and everything, and it's beautiful out. And I was thinking how nice it is to turn off the phone. And so I started doing that, and it is very pleasant just to enjoy sitting outside 60 degree Fahrenheit weather, chilly-ish, not too warm, not too cold, the sun is rising, and just to be and just to experience the quietness, the stillness, think about things I want to do in the day, think about things I want to get done, and how different of an experience that is than sitting there and just watching YouTube videos or Instagram or whatever. I'm trying to do things like that when I'm reaching for my phone without thinking about it. I'm trying to second guess myself. Do I really need to do this? I can check my Instagram feed once a day. You know, after dinner, I've kind of thought that's going to be my time, and it takes me not long, maybe like 15 minutes. I can go through it and boom, I'm done with it. Whereas if I use that time throughout the day, it probably adds up much more than that.
And you just basically scroll the feed to the people that you follow, and that's it. Yeah. So you can avoid the search and the explore feature and discovering new things. And I find that that's sometimes where it gets you, like, you, okay, that's enough from the fans, or not fans, excuse me, like friends and family who I follow. But now I still need more. My Achilles heel is Reddit, because I don't consider it a social media app. And I use the excuse of like, it's news. But what it is, it's news from like 36 million of your closest friends. And they all want to talk about all the stuff that's interesting to them. And then it gets put on a feed. And I think the Reddit algorithm's quite good. Like they understand your... But as they pointed out again in that movie, and kind of the scary thing that I never thought about was the more customized my experience is, the more of an echo chamber I end up finding myself in. So regardless of whether I'm left, right, center, whatever it may be, that those walls are going to close in and just feed me what they know is going to continue. Like, so it ends up being... like a turkey being fattened up, where it's like they just give you what you obviously want. They continue on a steady diet of sugar, but there's really no substance. And you keep telling yourself it's because I use this for news. Da da da. Well, I discovered through my wife, most news, and this is probably just me showing my age. Most news channels have like a 5-minute little audio thing that you can ask your Alexa to play for you in the morning. Hey, Alexa, play me the news from CBC. And they'll give you 5 minutes of just the top stories. Hey, this happened, that happened. This guy said that. And those are the stories that but as soon as I get on Reddit, now I'm interested in the mating habits of chipmunks and deforestation in Brazil. And not saying that any of this stuff doesn't necessarily matter, but now it's information overwhelm. So I need to keep going because now it's just endless amounts of, and it's mixed in with memes and jokes and da da da. So it's sweetened just enough where it's like, now this is taking all of my time. And I started doing this like about a year ago. It started sitting not right, how much time I was looking at a phone as opposed to being a people person. I like to think of myself, I used to get by and have no issues was sitting in the airport and having delays just by watching people. I love just watching people interact. And now it's strange because you can't even people watch, not only because we don't people watch as much, but even when you do, you realize that you're just watching a bunch of people sitting and playing on their phones. So now people aren't even overly interesting to watch anymore. But yeah, further to your point, you'll come down to all of the things that you're like, quick, yeah, it's easy to get rid of Twitter because I find that toxic. I'm not interested in that and da 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 da. But it's like, but what is the thing that is still sending you notifications? What is this thing still, you know, urging you to grab your phone, open it up, and take a moment or 10 minutes away from sitting with your partner or your daughter or whoever it may be? Or like you said, sitting with the cat and just like enjoying a sunset, putting your to-do list in order and figuring out what you want to do, or just thinking and daydreaming and whatnot. And that we don't have much time for.
Yeah, I think we're getting afraid to be in our own heads anymore. We want to have the constant stimulus from outside providing, you know, something into our brain rather than just letting ourselves be ourselves and being within ourselves. And you're right about that whole, the echo chamber thing. And as the documentary put it, you know, real succinctly, it was that, yes, that's exactly what it's doing. When everything you're doing online is just being reinforced by more of the same thing that it's showing you. And so it made the direct correlation between that and the rise of this us versus them mentality that everybody seems to have now. And it you could see that sharp rise as soon as social media started taking hold. And now it's so true because you're only seeing this information that you agree with for the most part. And like you said, you can get your 15-minute news roundup is really all you need, because most of the stuff we think is news isn't really news. It's just
right.
It's like burning, fires burning or something that doesn't really impact us, you know, in general. And I'm not talking about California fires, but like, you know, you see a house fire or something. Well, that's sad, but it really only affects that one family there or something, or a car crash. And these aren't really news
right.
things that we need to know about. And 15 minutes is usually plenty. And I'm trying to be real mindful of all of that. And, you know, I shut off my news feeds a long time ago of just consuming any kind of news. This year, I've been consuming more news than I have in years, just because of COVID probably and all these other things. I sort of keep telling myself I want to stay on top of, but now I'm starting to just cut that back some more because I think I don't need all of that in my life. My Achilles heel is YouTube, really. And it's just because, again, I tell myself that's not really social media, but it doesn't really matter what you call it. It's still a form of something that's being really shoved into my brain, you know,
because and your regular life, your behaviors, like how you conduct yourself on a day. Like your example of sitting and drinking coffee is perfect, because that's a perfect example of that used to be a moment that you used to experience yourself.
Yeah.
And even if you were to make the argument of like, but now with this, I have so much more stuff I could immerse myself in. And you were saying, or we've been saying how you find yourself in an echo chamber. And I think the point was supposed to be the complete opposite. I think you were supposed to get exposed to opinions that maybe you don't agree with. And that's supposed to not educate you, but like you're supposed to take that into consideration. And whether it be something that you change your mind or changes your opinion, like, that's what we should maybe be pushing ourselves to. And there's actually no excuse for it, but like, that's what it was supposed to be. But now we're getting so divisive because you just end up getting angry because either you're reading something about that you strongly agree with, or the stuff that you're reading that you disagree with is written and presented in a way where it's like, of course you should hate it. And here's exactly why you should. So it just riles you up more almost. It amps you up to become more angry. And that we talked last time about Twitter being the most toxic platform. And out of all of the platforms, that was the only one that I went and created a fake account for, a troll account for. And then I stopped because I started doing it. And I started kind of enjoying doing it. And I'm like, this is exactly what I hate about all of this, because everybody's doing the same thing. No one, aside from a celebrity or someone who has the ability to want to be on Twitter and using their actual name and all of the rest, I get that. But like when you just want to troll and tell people and take out some of that anger, which is being built up on people who don't believe the same things, like it's this wonderful way to do it. So then that just starts to get incubated into your life. And then even when you've turned off the phone, you're brewing about the Twitter argument that you're in or the news story, which was written just for the sake of riling people up, and you're consuming it at such a rate that it's riling you up. So now even when you're not on your phone, you're riled up by it, or you're sitting on your podcast talking about it.
Yeah, and if you're losing sleep over this kind of stuff, that's not good. That's like signs of addiction, and I mean, it's definitely there. And one of the things I've noticed is that I think that, and this isn't just social media, it's the phone, it's all of the screen time in it, of itself, and this has to do with sitting outside and just being in the moment, is that I think I lose creativity that way, because I noticed that for a while now, it's coming up on October, and I'm starting to think, what do I want to do for my Halloween video this year? Because I love doing those Halloween videos. I try to think of an angle and something that would, but I find that I keep thinking, I got to do that. I need to start thinking about that. And then I start thinking about it, but then I get sidetracked by watching this mindless stuff on YouTube or Instagram. Whereas if I sit, put the phone down and think, all of a sudden I can have a direct train of my thought thinking about what I want to do, and ideas come up and I think, oh, I could maybe work it this way and that way, and then this won't work and this one, and it builds on itself. Creativity comes from being within our own mind. And I think that having all of these external stimuli to us is kind, at least maybe it's just me, but it kills my creativity.
It kind of muddies the water. You almost end up, I hear it. My thing is going for walks. I used to go for walks, and then sometimes I would go for a walk and I would realize I'm walking and on my phone at the same time. And then I really put a stop to that. I'm like, the walks are going to be the thing that sometimes I don't even bring my phone or whatever. But yeah, that's exactly it. It's just muddying the waters enough for you not to get, especially like you said, that creative space. Like when I'm thinking about like, oh, I need an idea for a video, or I'd want to think about like a project or something like that. That only comes from having an extended time of clarity to actually think about something without any distractions whatsoever. And that only comes from not having the distraction actively, proactively reminding you to use it. It's the only drug that literally can, like, it'd be like if you carried crack around in your pocket and every 5 minutes the crack somehow figured a way to remind you to smoke it. It's not even down to you proactively doing it anymore. It's telling, like, it, yeah. That was the part in the whole documentary which really got to me, because I never had really, I mean, clearly I'd thought about it, but I'd never thought about it after it being presented so clearly. It's like, look how much of an intrusion this is that you are allowing to happen, affecting your relationships with your family, your friends, your own personal life, your creativity, your ability to sleep and whatnot. And I'm not too sure if we're maybe making this overly dramatic, or if this is probably the most important thing and challenge that we are facing. Because I realize when you go out, just look around at the amount of people who just sit and converse or sit and engage. And I get it. We've all been in that position where we've been to a restaurant and you pass judgment at the couple sitting across from you because both of them are on your phones, because we've all been in the restaurants with our, you know, people or whatever. And we've been doing that as well, because we all have perfect excuses. I have the big deal coming up, so I need to keep on my thing. My friends setting their fantasy football lineup. So we all have the whatever. But it's all just enabling us to have the excuses to say, like, this is the way it's happening, as opposed to like, no, why aren't there more? Like, I remember a while ago, everybody, there was a meme, not a meme going around, but like a thing going around where it's like, everybody puts their phones face down on the table when they get to a thing. And then the first person to pick their phone up pays the bill for like, if you're going out for dinner or something like that. I'm like, that's brilliant, because that'll hold everybody to account. So I don't see anybody doing that. Everybody's just sitting on their phone and ignoring each other.
Or somebody think, well, it's worth it, I'll just pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. This is a really important notification.
Yeah, that's true. But it's easy to come up with all of these like hacks on how to help ourselves with it. But I don't think enough of those really go far enough. It's kind of like when we were talking about minimalism and living a more minimalist life, and a lot of people think it's like they'll solve their problems if they would just get more organizers, you know, buy different drawers or same thing. You still have the same amount of crap. You're just kind of reorganizing it a little bit. Yeah.
For the largest amount of time, we've wanted to put a video out and just calling it, you don't need another storage box.
Yeah, you
like
should.
It gets to the point where if you're buying this much stuff to put, like if you're buying more stuff to put your stuff in, you've reached that point. A, there are boxes that come all the time from Amazon. There's a very cheap storage box for any of your stuff. You can put a bunch of stuff in there, box it up, and then just throw it away. And you're doing yourself a huge favor. We really are at the point where like the advice for getting organized seems to actually be buying more stuff to keep it in smaller, more organized closets, which end up just then becoming overwhelmed.
Just more organized chaos.
Just more organized chaos. What else is going on in your world, Steve?
Oh, nothing too exciting. I got back to the gym though, so that's kind of exciting. It's kind of hard because you have to wear masks, and so it's a real struggle to breathe and try to work out while wearing a mask. And I don't know. It's California. We'll be the last to stop wearing masks, but you know, I see there's other places around the country. Their gyms are open, and they're not. And so I don't know. I wish they would make some modifications with that. At least while you're actively working out, you could breathe. It would help. But I'm just glad to be able to work out, you know.
It's a weird thing to go to a restaurant and you have to walk through the restaurant to your table with your mask on, or to go to the bathroom, put your mask on. But as soon as you sit down at your table, at least here, you can take your mask off because obviously you have to eat.
Right. So. Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I guess every bit helps, and it's more of a show of like, hey, we're following.
Right.
Like, at least here, that seems to be the reason why most people are like, yeah, totally fine. I get that I'm probably not making a huge difference by just wearing my mask from the table to the thing, but the larger point is we're all.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think that I don't want to be one of those guys that just goes around bitching about masks. I mean, it's like, I kind of like get over it already. We're going to wear masks for at least the next year or two everywhere. Yeah. It's not going to change. And so I got bigger fish to fry. That's the
right.
It's not that difficult of a thing to do, except at the gym. That is a real problem. It's very difficult to work out when you're breathing heavy and you're breathing in your own. Your own carbon, whatever, monoxide.
Your own exhale, right? Which apparently is the thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can make you feel sick.
Yeah. It's hard to catch your breath. Yeah, and so, what you do is you just see everybody like sneaking, you know, everybody's putting their mask down. And so, it's just.
I do that at the store. So I was at Michael's, which is like a craft store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here. We have Michael's.
Oh, you have Michael's there. And I was in a corner and I looked around for cameras and everything. I'm like, I just need a couple breaths of nice, cold, refreshing air. And then when you breathe it, it's like when you've been exercising for a long time and you take. Like you go to tap and you get like a really cold glass of water and you drink and you're like, ah, it's so refreshing. That's what, it's funny to go into a store and then get into your car and then rip it off. Like you just did 8 hours of surgery. It's like,
Well, I think this will end.
Do you have some custom masks?
Oh yeah, I've got
your own masks.
I have.
Well, you have the Jason mask, right?
I don't wear the Jason one out too much, just because
it's a little provocative, isn't it?
It is. I have to kind of consider. It's funny because I have different masks. I generally wear a bandana because I like the way that it lets me breathe out through the bottom of it. Basically, it's like not wearing a mask. So. But even that also has problems with it. But I wear a bandana most of the time, and then I can keep it around my neck and pull it up pretty easily. And I kind of feel like an outlaw or something. You know, it makes me look kind of badass. But then I got this really cool mask. It's a regular kind of mask, but it's got like a half skull on it. I think that looks really cool. It's like all of my death and demon kind of masks and everything. But then if I have to go like someplace where it's like a proper, like if I got to go to the doctor or if I have to go someplace, I'll wear just a regular surgical
like
mask.
The regular white. Yeah. Like disposable ones, right? So
it's weird how we've developed, or at least I have developed like this, like my fashion sense of masks, and I have to know what's going to be appropriate to wear at what setting. It's like, do I wear my white pants or my black pants with the tuxedo? I don't know.
I got a few colors of masks and I do the exact same thing. So there's no shame in that game. I match it to my socks. I mean, like if you're going to have a mask, I'm going to have as many variations of it as possible.
And yeah.
But again, so I don't care. It's not that, putting in the big context of things, wearing a mask is not that big of a hassle, considering most of the time I'm here at home anyways. I rarely leave the house anymore. So it's, you know, everywhere I go is, you know, here's the funny thing though. You see all these commercials now and they're like pizza and all these delivery companies and they all say contact-free delivery. Have you seen this? What is this? Is this, it's like, okay, oh, thank God they're no longer going to grope me at the door, you know?
I don't know if you would, especially now with Tap. Like, I touched the pizza box on the opposite side of the pizza box that he was holding. And then
I don't know what it means.
And you take your pizza. I normally don't like pat them on the back or give them hugs.
I know. I'm like, what was this? I don't think I've ever or had anybody come to the door where they've contacted me in any way. You know, it's not like they're just like, I'm going to grope this guy when I give him his food. I don't know. It's just another one of these. It's the same thing as the every commercial starting out with in these uncertain times.
In these uncertain times.
Or in these unprecedented times. Both
you're looking for an insurance provider who can... No, I'm not. Mitch Hedberg had a joke a long time ago. He said that he was watching TV, and I'm going to do the joke no justice. He was watching TV and he saw a carpet commercial came on. And I remember that this used to be something that they used to sometimes do in commercials. And the commercial starts with, forget everything you know about indoor carpets. And that was it. And then he said that the commercial went on to talk about a new indoor carpet, but he's like, I had no idea what they were talking about. And it's a great joke because they literally start off by telling you to forget everything that you know about the product that they're just about to sell you.
Rest in peace, Edward. Hey, what did you think about the, did you listen or watch our other podcasts?
I have watched the way up to the most recent one, which I thought was a banger. I literally turned the mic off and I had this big smile on my face, and I think I sent you a message in 3 seconds. I'm like, wow, maybe it's the mic, but my goodness,
it's pretty cool though that the weird thing is on the YouTube, the video now, it's every time one of us talks it goes to full screen rather than keeping the split screen, and it's a Zoom thing, I'm sure, but I don't know how it did that. I was just looking at it before today trying to figure out if there was a setting for that, but I never saw it. So now I don't know, I kind of like it that way, but I don't know how it did that.
I think it does make sense. So sorry, every time that it's whoever's talking, that's the one who is the full screen.
Yeah.
Oh, well then. Oh,
I know, it's a little thing. But so anyways, I got the, chadandsteve.com is a thing now. We have chadandsteve.com.
Hashtag Cash App.
Cash. Do you know that's a real thing? Cash App.
Cash App. Yeah. Apparently you added a second P and it's apparently the largest, we have the banks take care of all of that. So we don't need apps to send and receive money, but that's what it is, right? It's a send and receive.
I guess it's like Venmo or something, right? I don't know. It's weird that I never heard of Cash App until now, you know?
Do you think through us having hashtag Cash App with 1P, we'll get some rollover new fans, like a new audience just built in, people looking for Cash App? And being like, look at these two guys.
I know. I wanted to transfer money, but now I really want to listen to these guys talk about nothing.
Two old men talk about it.
But I think that the podcast is coming. And I got the Libs. I can't remember how to say it. The podcast hosting site, Libsyn. Libsyn. And I found out that means liberated syndication is what it is, Libsyn. So
they're pretty big too, I saw. Like they're one of the leaders in this space.
So I figured Tim would know, you know, he knows all that stuff. It was interesting, Tim saying his podcast is growing faster than YouTube channel. So that's impressive.
I think of H3 who kind of did the same thing.
They kind of abandoned
a much larger platform to build something which has way better engagement and clearly seems to resonate with them better.
Right.
So I think the amount of podcasts being brought out through COVID is eye opening. So
we're just jumping on it, you know.
Thank goodness we jumped on it.
Well, we were trying to do this bandwagon a year ago, but so we were sort of ahead of the curve, I guess.
So long as we can prove that we didn't do it because everybody else is doing a podcast.
That's what
we
important. Did
because we wanted something else to do and we're doing it.
So I think what we should do is just go ahead and I just haven't sat down to figure out the Libsyn, all that stuff on how to just publish them. And but I'd be happy with just go ahead and publish what we've got.
I agree.
Do it, you know?
I fully agree.
I listen to this number of podcasts. I listen to this one. I think it's called Horror Squad, or I listen to all these horror movie things. But and I was listening to it yesterday. I'm thinking they have got the crappiest audio ever, and it's three people talking, and they're all different. Some of them you can barely hear. I have to turn up the volume, whatever. But I still listen to it. But I think we're already ahead of the game on that. On the audio is fine, you know. I think it's good enough. I think that as long as we don't worry too much about the technical stuff, all I want to do is get this stuff out there and listen and see what happens.
We said that was going to be the goal, the challenge. I think that we talked about a couple conversations ago where I was like, oh, there was some stuff that I might have said with the mop, and I need to go back and look. And I went back and looked, and I'm like, I guess it. You know, whatever. The larger point of this was to have it just be like this honest exchange between friends having a conversation about stuff, and perhaps it's interesting enough to listen into. And as we also talked further about that particular subject, we realized if we started putting all of these like filters and like, oh, this is whatever, it kind of takes away from, I think, what we're trying to do, which is raw, unedited. Because I watched a few podcasts and they kind of shoot it in the same style, especially during lockdown. A lot of people are doing just these Zoom, everybody has a mic and whatnot. But they edited all of the space in between. So unlike watching the H3 podcast or listening to Howard Stern, where it's just this constant, you hear the ums and the ahs in between, they cut it all out and it really took away from it. Cause it's like, well, now it's just exactly like your YouTube videos are, which are kind of jump cutty, and it makes it look more polished and more presented, and like a bunch of stuff was taken out. I love the thought of it just being one continually, you know, long 56 minute conversation between us that ends naturally. It starts naturally, and wherever we end up going, we end up going. And that's what I wanted to get behind. That's what I wanted this to be. Not a contrived podcast, not something where here's the oh guys, it's time for the top five. And having I want top five graphics, and I would like to do maybe, I love going through the thumbnails every so often and just being like, hey, let's do a deep dive on some thumbnails and see some back and forth. And maybe we could talk about some interesting videos that we've seen or whatever. But like, I think the core of it is just you and I talking, and it works. So that's a long roundabout answer to say, yeah, I think I'm at the point where it's like, let's just put it up. We'll tell a few people and be like, hey,
If you want, I can mention it on the YouTube channel. It'll just kind of be a soft launch. I'll just say we started this thing. If you want to listen to it, it's over on YouTube, or you can find it on wherever you want. But I think that if we just keep doing what we're doing, we'll kind of find our own path with that. And it may end up going down a very specific path that is interesting. And it's still, I guess, primarily focused on YouTube. Mostly that's kind of the thing we have, although today we haven't spoken a lot about YouTube. But I think if we kind of keep that as the general idea, two YouTubers talking about YouTube, but mostly about not YouTube.
Mostly about other stuff, but based upon perhaps other stuff based upon not core issues, but like kind of things which are started out. I think we did talk about YouTube in several ways, and we've been talking about social media and all of the rest, but I think it kind of blossoms out from there. And that's where like that natural.
Yeah. I think that I kind of get tired of so many podcasts are all follow the exact same formula. So what is, at least in the woodworking and maker videos, they're all identical. And that's why I don't really listen to them anymore. They're always like, so what are you working on this week? Right. And then it goes on droning on about, I don't know.
And there's more.
I don't want to diss them. I don't want
to. Right. And there's more to us than what we do. Clearly, what we do occupies the vast majority of our time, and we're certainly going to talk about it at length. But I think there is that space.
It'll be fun to have guests on too. I think that we know enough people to make that interesting, and it'll be fun to have them involved in a conversation that's not just "I'm here to promote my product" kind of conversation. You know.
So that's a shout out to Tim Schmoyer. Shout out to Bounce Patrol, Antonio, Real Men, Real Style.
He'll be a hero. Yeah.
We got a podcast.
I'm trying to get styled by him. Did I tell you that?
How is that? So how's it going?
Well, it's everything we do is a very slow process.
May I say what a nice golf shirt you're wearing today?
I thank you. Thank you. You know, it's funny. It's hard for me to find shirts that actually fit. Well, you're a tall guy. And it's, if I find shirts that are fitted well, I usually have to go with like a medium. Otherwise, it's just too baggy. But then the length is too short. So it's hard to get that fit, right? And so I found these shirts. This is from Kohl's. It's Mark Anthony, you know, the singer. Yep. He has his own line of clothes. And the Mark Anthony shirts, I just love them. They fit really well. They're reasonably priced, you know. And so
is that one of those things where you have like 12 colors
I have 12 shades of gray, you know. Yeah. It's basically all I wear anymore. I'm so safe. That, in fact, that was one of the things I mentioned when I was shooting some stuff for this style thing I want to do with Antonio. He wanted to see an inventory of my clothes. And so I had to take everything out of the closet. And I don't have a lot of clothes. I have a very small selection. It's also part of this whole minimalist thing is I only want to keep what I want. And so I was laying them out and I was like, wow, I really don't have a lot of colors in here. And I think it's because, and I said, I think it's because I'm a little intimidated by wearing too many colors. It's a little bit, I don't know. It's a bold step to make. Yes. And I used to wear much more colorful clothes, but it's harder for me to coordinate. And I'm a little fearful of, especially if colors have a lot of patterns to them. It's like, okay, I have this really cool shirt, but then what do I have? Pants. I don't want that to clash or anything with it. So you just end up wearing jeans or something. So
I had a black shirt.
Yeah. So this is pretty much my daily wear now, but hopefully he's going to, you know, up my game. But like I said, it takes the two of us going back and forth, it's a very slow process because he's got a billion things going on, you know, his work and everything. And then I'm busy with my stuff. And so it's, you know, each time one of us shoots something, it'll take a week or two for the other one to get. But it's kind of cool in a way, especially with this box that he's making and I'm making alongside of him for my channel. And it's just been going on for like maybe almost 2 months now, a month and a half when we started this thing. It's a simple box. I could probably make it in 2 days, you know, easily, but it's just showing him step by step. And then he shoots his part step by step. And then, but it's kind of fun to have that because it's just one other feature of my show that people can kind of, oh yeah, I remember this thing. We'll come back to that. And so I'm really enjoying this format, this vlog format. And it's because it's so freeing to just be able to shoot things as they are and just tell the story of my shop and how what I'm doing. And yesterday, this is why I'm sitting here on the opposite side of the room today, is because this router table is where my laptop is sitting on, and because it's tall and I like to sit here, and I had it over there, but I actually am trying to like retrofit it right now. And so that's part of the show, and I was working on it yesterday, and that's why this is here anyways. But it's one of those things where it's like, I need to do some improvement in my shop. I'll do that on video. And I don't get a lot done in one day, but it's enough for a video. And then people, I don't have this burning desire to have to complete an entire, the video doesn't have to be a start and an end. It can be a middle point in something. And if somebody comes into this project, they'll say, oh, he's already started on this thing. And then there's other things going on, and it's more soap opera-y, I guess, is kind of,
yes.
And then I can just take days where I don't have much to talk about and just do Q&As and people love that stuff. People love those where you just sit down and talk to the camera. In fact, some of those are more popular than me building something. It's real interesting.
We're going through a challenge with Melissa's channel, the Melissa Maker YouTube channel. It has 75,000 subscribers or something like that. We haven't done anything with it for the longest period of time. And she's stuck with, what do I want this to be? Like, it's a wonderful opportunity to do something slightly different than what we're doing on Clean My Space, because Clean My Space has now become this, we pretty much know what a video is. We know we've tried a lot of videos which kind of fall outside of that. And as much as we will not do those types of videos, we're kind of like, okay, well, now we have a second channel with the Makers Clean, then we can kind of put other stuff which doesn't really, whatever. So the larger channel is kind of more protected. That has a very particular style and recipe for the videos that work there. But being inspired by you and other, I talked about Josh Katz before in past, and I remember meeting him or seeing him at VidCon, and he was always like, you guys should just do something completely different, put it on your large channel and just see what happens, because you never know what is going to work. But that ends up locking you into, you know what to expect. We know what to expect on a shoot day. We know what to expect like during the editing process. So there's no variance to it. And as much as that's very respectful, because we've managed to make that work and continue to grow and all of the rest, it takes away the thought of like, oh, wouldn't it be nice just to have a video where I could not even set up my lav mics and lights and whatnot, just set up my camera, like my phone even, which can pretty much shoot really good quality video these days. Just answer, you know, a bunch of questions that I get and da da da, and have that be a video. Like you said, where it doesn't need to have a beginning, middle, and an end and some great Casey Neistat storyline. And we talked last time about YouTubers that we really enjoy watching. And one of the ones that I failed to mention, who's probably one of my favorite YouTubers, is Frank Howarth. Mm-hmm. And he just takes, he'll take a project and you'll watch just him making the shelves for like a cabinet or something that he's making. And that's the entire video. Like, that's it. It's just like, here's where I started. And he includes like, oh, I tried this. And he'll for 10 minutes, he'll show you about this. And he's like, but that didn't work. So now I did this and it changed. And I love that just aspect of just allowing it to be whatever it is. Yeah. And that's also what I love about our podcast, is that this has become me just looking forward to having a conversation with you, as opposed to us sitting down and trying to make a podcast.
I totally agree with that. I think that's really it's fun about this for me, is it's something so different than what I've done before.
Yeah. And that's what I was getting at with the Melissa Maker channel, is like, we're kind of in that space where it's like, what can this be? It should be something way more approachable and different. Cause as much as we want to continue on with like, clearly this could just be used as extra cleaning videos that would get a better, like a bigger audience and would probably clearly, you know, lead to growth and all of the rest. However, she's in a place where she would maybe also want to do just something deliberately different. The same reason why I did this is maybe what she's looking for in some way with that channel. So
let's play gaming videos. Have her do let's play gaming videos.
You know what? She should just do, or she could do like reaction videos to like, it seems to be working for people like Cody Ko and Gus Johnson and whatnot.
It so does. Perhaps, I think though, really, honestly, I think that if she would just use that as a Q&A channel, just sit down and just go through comments, ask people to send her cleaning questions, all that stuff. If you didn't want to put that on the main channel, just have a conversation would be interesting.
Do you hear that, Melissa? Great idea, Melissa, because that actually we were talking about that yesterday. I'm like, it's the one space that we might be able, so we tried to do something that I get behind a hashtag, and I don't know if have you done this in your videos. Have you ever been to like, I'm also going to associate this with a hashtag?
Try to
really lean into a hashtag. Sometimes it works, but it usually only works temporary. So kudos to the people who have managed to have a hashtag be a thing associated with their brand for a long period of time, because that is very, very difficult. We tried doing hashtag ask Melissa. We're like, it's perfect. You can ask a cleaning question, but you know, Melissa's pretty good at a bunch of stuff. So whatever it is, you can just use that. And then we'll make videos of her just answering the questions that include hashtag ask Melissa. It didn't go over well. People weren't interested on the main channel. So I was suggesting, hey, maybe that's kind of the space here. Maybe it's more access to Melissa. You can certainly ask a cleaning question, but if you have a cleaning question about her hair or something else or business related or some of the other things that she does that, you know, might be.
Seen the Ask Melissa that you did on your Clean My Space. Did it kind of follow your same format, a very kind of highly polished production?
And that might've been the thing that took away from it. And also like, I mean, on the channel, perhaps people just weren't looking for that casual.
Right.
Maybe they were, but it needs to be in addition to, and we like the frequency of the videos, and it really does seem a long space in between a practical how to clean something video. When it's once every 2 weeks, like we like to just kind of keep that consistent. And if it's not like a traditional how to clean something, it's a, here's a collection of cleaning habits, or here's a clean with me. Like it's pretty by the books as far as that's concerned. And it was very disappointing to have so much interest in something and then just see the response not be there. And that wasn't it. It wasn't a good idea. That was, this isn't the channel for
probably. I think you're right. I would give it a shot. I would give it a shot over on her other channel and just see what happens. She could also do live streams there too. You know, that might be kind of fun.
That was another one that I thought, it's like, there just might be a different way for someone to interact with you. And even if it was all still cleaning questions, it would at least be a live kind of back and forth, and you'd maybe get people to tune in. We will see. And I want to bring her on the podcast as well. I would love to talk to her about being a woman. Yeah. On YouTube, we did something very similar back in the day on Tim Schmoyer's podcast. And he brought us both in to talk about what it was like to be a couple. And then part of the conversation also talked about what it's like to be a woman on YouTube and the comments you receive and just like the preconceived notions of what people like, kind of whatever. I think it's fascinating. And I remember it being really eye-opening to listen to my wife talk about it, because it's like, here's the person that I've been doing all of this with. And so it was really eye-opening to hear some of the things that she was exposed to.
I would have a lot of questions I'd like to ask her about that. It'd be interesting.
And it's still very relevant. Still very relevant. We went through after the Black Lives Matter thing. Sorry, that sounds very dismissive. But the most recent George Floyd kind of movement push that happened with Black Lives Matter. And we decided to like look at our industry and our space and be like, how can we do something that helps, you know, how can we use our platform to help kind of promote some of these voices that have just been stifled for so long? And it was during that time that I realized that obviously that is an issue, but it certainly does go far beyond that. We still have issues related to like women on the platform and just some of the toxic comments which just get accepted and are still okay, and you don't really have many ways to report sexist comments or whatnot.
I would love to talk to her more about that, because I don't think I've ever had that conversation with her. But just as a spoiler, is there one comment you think that she gets more than any other, that it kind of repeated, you see it over and over again, that's just so obnoxious?
It's a childish one. It doesn't happen very much anymore, because I think it's just a little cliche and kind of tired now. But the biggest one is that's a strange looking sandwich you have in your hand, or like, go make me a sandwich. Oh, this is great. Look, a woman in the kitchen cleaning up. Like, actually, you know what, out of all of those, even regardless of the people who do outwardly sexist things, because let's not even talk about the comments that are just like, I'd like to da 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 your, like,
show me
amazing
your
the amount of analogies for sex that you can see in cleaning videos, because they'll just, I'd like to clean your great lines. It's like, I don't even know what that means, but like, there's that, and that's just, you know, I get it, that's just whatever. However, that says something in itself, the fact that she has to put up with people saying that. I've never put something like, I put a video out and read someone be like, you know, you're this way just because you're a man, so you're this way, and that's just a comment which is being placed. But yeah, the toughest ones where it's just like, this is so great to see a woman teach, like, what a great woman. Not only does she cook, but she also cleans, and it's just that kind of stuff. And it's not particularly mean. It just kind of shows like,
well, it's not the kind of thing.
Would you show your mom this comment? Like, would you show your sister this comment? Like, do you have a special woman in your life who means a lot to you that you would be like, oh, hey, you're a woman, so you should be barefoot, pregnant, and cleaning up after me, or making me a sandwich?
I think that she's playing into gender stereotypes.
Ha.
Woman.
So perhaps this is the entire podcast, and we'll have her on, because we had, one of the biggest things, 2018, I think it was, is when cleanfluencers became a thing in the media. I think it was because The Guardian and The New York Times, and there was a few people who in and around that time did a few articles. And there was one article that got picked up by The Washington Post and The Guardian, just all of the major news outlets. And for like a week or so, everybody was talking about Marie Kondo, Clean My Space and Melissa Maker, and all of the other people who are on the platform doing Clean With Me videos, and now are called cleanfluencers, bunch of them on Instagram. And they were talking about how this is a bit of like, it reinforces the stereotype, because all the women that are doing this, and I actually have an article from Vice magazine, or the Vice website, or whatever it was. It's on my Instagram. I took a screenshot of it and I put it as a post on my Instagram, because it says, we're pretty sure that Melissa's husband, Chad Reynolds, is the only male cleanfluencer in the space. Only because I've put some videos of myself cleaning on the Clean My Space channel. But yeah, that was kind of the whole angle towards it, where it's like, even when you do manage to like carve out your space, get some respect and all of the rest, then because you're a woman, or at least because she's a woman, she's gonna, like, even if she does do it for all the right reasons, she's still being, cleanfluencers are mostly women. So is that just reinforcing a gender stereotype?
Right. So you can kind of get it from both sides of that. One, you're either reinforcing a stereotype, or two, people who say, or who are almost taking that literally, like, yeah, get back into the kitchen and clean.
And we can go really deep on this particular topic because it alerted me to truly what fake news was. I thought it was a bit of a Donald Trump buzzword. Seeing how misrepresented, and I'll let her tell the story about what, you know, how the interview process went leading up to these articles, and then how, as the article got picked up by other very reputable Daily Mail and data, all of these, not reputable, but whatever, large enough, how it just kept changing. The story just kept changing, and it was well beyond your control. And you think of all the times you saw a celebrity be like, I never said that. That's completely misrepresentation. Right. And we've been like, yeah, I know, but probably not. They probably had some level of whatever. But when it's happening to you, not happening to you, but when you're reading it and it's about you and you know exactly what you said and you realize the liberties that they took with your words and the way that they present it. And then we just started getting all of these messages from people that were congratulating us or like mentioning that they had read about this. But it was all for all the wrong reasons. It's not that they were malicious. It wasn't whatever. It's just that's not how it happened. So perhaps having Melissa on and actually talking about that entire little burst of popularity and kind of like virality at a time that this thing was really kind of going on. So we can talk about that and I'll get Melissa on here.
That sounds awesome. Well, Chad, I got to start wrapping it up here.
Yes.
An hour.
Like there you go. And that's how we make a podcast around here.
That's how we do it. Chad and Steve have a podcast, you know.
Chad and Steve have a podcast, you know. And if you don't know, you can go to chadandsteve.com and find out all about it.
And you'll find nothing there.
You'll find nothing there.
You'll find a site. It probably says it's under construction or something. I don't
know.
Can
you put up a little GIF of the construction guy doing the
late 90s. Yeah.
Road closed sign, the light.
Those used to stay there for years, you know, under construction.
Yes.
Or whenever somebody was building a website, they always had that at the bottom to let you know that that wasn't done yet. Because there was, I guess, this assumption that at some point you would be done with your website.
Yeah, still under construction. Check back soon.
Oh, those
it's not the way a website works. Well, have yourself a great rest of the day, Steve.
Thank you, we will see
you here on Friday.
That sounds great. And we will talk about who knows. We'll figure out something. I'm gonna mention this. I'll mention this. I think I'll wait until I get the podcast, the audio part actually posted or not posted. I don't even know what you call that, where you have it available.
Yeah. All right.
Once that's widely available, then I'll mention it on my channel and see what kind of traction we get.
Can I help with a website?
Absolutely. I mean, if you can just put anything there.
Like put a WordPress installation together.
Please.
And all of the rest.
Please. Great.
All right.
Yeah. Let me know.
Well, there's a certain amount of excitement around starting a website from scratch.
It's good.
Because you had a web design or just graphic design company?
Web design. You have enough
experience in web design. So forget
I can't do it myself.
Really?
No.
Even with a WordPress?
I could fumble through it, but I'm not interested.
Just gets irritating. Yeah, I have an excitement about like it's like assembling IKEA furniture for me.
I get really
excited about like starting from scratch, and then at the end I have a website with a thing,
and then you got a leftover Allen wrench you don't know what to do with.
And I have a bin in my workshop with 100. Yeah. Until then, Steve.
All right, thanks, man. I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care, man.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.